ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
In my 27 years as a Victorian policewoman, I investigated everything from a stolen bicycle to a stolen life. Policing taught me a lot about human nature, which I explore in my podcasts with a variety of fascinating guests discussing the human side and impact of crime, not only on their lives, but mine as well. My podcasts are not suitable for children and some adults for that matter. If you find yourself affected by my subject matter, please contact Lifeline or any other support service or person that you feel comfortable with. My guests provide their recollection of an event or incident, sharing their thoughts and their emotions, but it's theirs and not everyone will agree with them. I understand that and I hope you do too. Thank you.
We carry the past life lessons, experiences, traumas. That's who we project to the world. And I had these labels, I had these things that I was built as, and I just, how could I rewire the brain? And these books that I was reading and paths that I was taking, influences that were in that space, they shape-shifted me into a different individual, and organically it sort of sent me from crime to my global business. And yeah, if you look back on it, it's just priceless.
Geoffrey Morgan is a proud Indigenous man, husband and father, living on Gadigal land, Eora Country in Sydney, Australia. He's an influential, motivating, inspiring mindset and lifestyle coach, running coaching programs, workshops and events. He's a public speaker. He's an advocate, to name just a few of the many strings he has to his bow. But they're all with a common theme. It's about helping others to live their best lives and maybe even yours. But life hasn't always been rosy for Geoff. He was living on the streets of Redfern, Sydney at 12, which led him to spending 18 years in and out of Australia's maximum security prisons from 92 until 2010. It took time for Geoff to realise that if he didn't change his mindset, his life would be what it was, just in and out of jail with nothing to look forward to but more grief, trauma and sadness. So Geoff decided to take up some educational opportunities available to him, and he found himself some mentors. So how, why, and when did he turn his life around? Because he's certainly done that. And I love Geoff's motto. It's embrace your past, present, and future. And that's what I'll be chatting about with Geoff today. How we can learn from our past and not ignore it. Enjoying where we are right now in the present and being excited and looking forward to the future. So thanks for joining us, Geoff. It's quite a road you have walked.
Oh, thanks for having me, and long introduction. There's plenty of time and questions, I suppose, to dig deep on that and share those lessons of life to those that tune into the podcast to enhance their life.
Yeah, there is. And Geoff, would you like to do an acknowledgement to country?
I'd love to pay respects to the Gadigal of the Eora Nation, whose land I stand upon today. To any elders past, present or emerging that listen to this, I pay respect to you for the hard fight to allow me as a leader who has taken that opportunity and space to step in and continue the journey of our ancestors.
Thanks, Jeff. And I've got to say to the listeners, Jeff and I have been speaking obviously about today, and I had to, I suppose, admit my lack of knowledge of all things Indigenous. And Jeff suggested that I watch a three-part series on SBS called The Australian Wars. And I was saying to Jeff before, I'm only two episodes in, I've got one to go, but I have learned so much. And I would think every school in every state in Australia should watch it. It's such a powerful series, isn't it, Jeff? And I've got to say thank you for highlighting it to me.
Absolutely. It's one of the most, as you know, a former police officer, facts are facts. And once we were able to sit down and ascertain what truly happened from the journals of the first settlers and many other details along that journey from historians and archaeologists, we can make a sound decision then to step into a space and have a courageous conversation, one that's obviously led our country to different directions, into the one direction. I've got a saying, the best race on this planet is human race, when we all get on with one another. And to do that, we just need to seek to understand the situation before we step into any conversation. And, you know, as a police officer walking into those courts, you have to have facts. You can't just allege that someone has done something without any proof of evidence, and this series has so much proof of evidence for us as Australians to really unite together and move forward more resilient together and use the past lessons for a brighter future together.
Yeah, and you're right about the facts, because the people that are interviewed, they are historians, they are they've got doctorates, they are very knowledgeable, and as you say, the facts are there. Like, there's journals and journals of letters that were written. It's fascinating, but also I felt a bit of shame, I've got to say, in watching it. But anyway, look, I'll let everyone else make up their own mind, but I think it's a must watch. And like talking about policing, Jeff, I've got to say I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me, because to be honest, I wasn't sure if you would respond to my message, because I've got no doubt as a troubled young person, the treatment that you received by police wouldn't have been great. In fact, I hate to think. And what I want to say here and now is that I apologise for the behaviour that so many of your people and you have experienced at the hands of police. We've got a long way to go, but slowly we are improving, but we need to.
Yeah, look, I think we can all learn, as I said, whether it's from our past. And as a leader in our community, and when I say our community, it's every single person that lives next door to myself, so it's not just the Aboriginal community. I'm a proud leader there as well, but our community means that acknowledgement, seeking to understand situations, how can we be better at the next opportunity, and be able to have an effective communication to bring a safe outcome for everybody involved. And I always say this, you know, we can go down a path where things are violent and so forth between police and those committing crimes, or you can bring it to a head in a different light. And conversations, sometimes we're able to find out things. You look at other people that have been through trauma and stress and heartache, and when we understand that, and they don't have the emotional IQ. And just to clarify to everyone listening, I don't ever promote crime. I don't ever think that it's right, or I'm not justifying anything in this conversation. But it's just seeking to understand if a person isn't built. I ran away at 12. My emotional IQ, or learning how to deal with things, was just through emotions of not being loved by my parents. So it was like, F the world. And, you know, that was my whole mentality. And I just took that anger into survival, and you combine those two, and it just became a habit which becomes a ritual. And that seeking to understand conversation, if I sat down with some people at the right times Early on, around the age of 12 in that piece, the pivotal directional change would have occurred a lot earlier on, and as the potential to play at South Sydney Rabbitohs when I was younger, those sorts of things would have been the direction of change, but I just didn't have the belief, and I felt, obviously the emotional IQ, as I said before. So sometimes we've got to understand, if we don't step in and have a courageous conversation with our neighbour who might be going down a destructive path of life around criminality, they'll never see, or they can't be what they'll never see. And just sitting down, having these conversations, funnily enough, when you're sitting in a bail dock and an officer would actually give you time and say, Jeff, you've got so much potential, and what do you see yourself doing in the future? And I'm like, I don't know, I'm just making money. And little conversations of, so is it about making money for yourself? And I said, oh, yeah, of course. Well, how am I going to eat? And he said, well, have you ever thought how we all do that? And I was like, no, I don't. And I'm a bit nervous or scared by it. And these conversations really almost planted a seed. And like the bonsai tree, that you'd come back and go through that same station, and the conversations would evolve. And those conversations were just one of another human being seeing a young kid who just had no way of dealing with things but what he thought was right, without the role modelling. And officers over time would have an impact on you, because they were you break it down, you take off the clothing and the title and the label, and it was just another human being interacting with another human being, and that person's a part of the community. And when we can come into that conversation, we can be a part of some beautiful change within the community, and that could change or save a life. And I think it's one worth people understanding the depth of.
But also, Jeff, I feel this is a bit hard to say, but that should have been a conversation that your parents should be having with kids, isn't it? It's too late when you are in the dock. Well, it's not too late. It's better late than never. Absolutely. But can I ask what happened? Why were you, were you abandoned? Is that the word that you were at 12? Like, what happened at home? Was it violence or?
Yeah, it was a lot of physical violence. And my father was German Austrian. So he had the mentality coming out of the war. He came over here by himself. And, obviously they were rebuilding at that point in time. And I just feel the discipline from that side of things, especially back then, was definitely dished out via the fist. And it's as hard as it was, it made me very tough of a nature to be disciplined in my own life. So I got his sort of message. Would have liked to not have got it the way I got it, but in the end, even then I look at that sort of stuff and think to myself, what lessons did I learn from it, and how could I take it instead of focusing on the negative of the situation? This is huge for everybody. When you talk about the problem, you always find pain, some past experience, trauma, PTSD, so forth. When you talk about the solution, you always find happiness, and it's one of the major components of my program that we work with individuals to be able to see things through a different lens, rather than being in a light of whether it's a victim or the community or something of that nature. How can we put ourselves in the shoes of, and that way you start the change and shift, and whether the shoes are of your old self that was tired of the things that you're telling yourself you're going to do, into the light of who you want to become, and then it could go down the path of, whether there was a victim in a matter, and how can they then use that? Maybe they become an advocate for that space, just as we were talking about before, Russell Manta as an example, through his journey and his abuse and going in and now becoming an advocate for those that have suffered abuse. And that's, magical, because he's changing and saving lives and giving people an opportunity to let go of the past and step into the future. And this whole conversation around being, sitting down with people and just seeking to understand allows you to understand a 12-year-old kid was being physically abused. So I jumped out the window, and I think that's my best option, without any thought process around how am I going to get food, where am I sleeping tonight, And this led to this life of crime, and I was on the streets. By the time I was 16, crime had become a normal part of my behaviours. It was just, you know, what you did to survive. And a lot of the stuff we did initially was just around food or getting money to get into a hotel. That was it. There was no lush lifestyle and driving a Ferrari or anything of that nature. It was purely survival. And over time, the hotels got a bit better. I was like, oh, there's not noise in there. There's not people partying in there. There's like, we were staying in a $20 hotel at the time when I first started. And over time, the hotels got better, as I said. And then within the lobbies of those hotels, I'd talk to people and you'd bump into politicians or people that, business owners. And I'd never seen any of that. And they'd say, how's your day? What do you do? And then we'd have a conversation. I'd say, what do? I don't do anything. And obviously I was lying at the time around what I did, but it taught me how they interacted with each other, and I started to pick up these traits. But going back to it all, that 12-year-old kid got out on the streets, and it wasn't something that that kid definitely wanted to do. But in the end, it was what it is, and all I can do is take those lessons from the past to make a brighter future.
Yeah, and you're right. I suppose the maturity of a 12-year-old, all a 12-year-old, I would imagine, in the position that you were, what they're thinking of doing is just escaping this violence. You don't think of that next step. You just want to get out, and then it's, I suppose it's just almost hour by hour as to how you survive. Can you tell us about how old you were when you first went to jail and what that was like, how you found it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've never looked into it, to be honest, Nora. I'd say I was 13, 14, maybe even 12. Gee. 12 to 14, yeah. I'd say. It wasn't long after I got caught breaking into some shops, I believe so, late at night, and we went to Yasma, if I was right at that point in time. To me it was just daunting. But funnily enough, like as much as it was daunting, it was more probably like anything, people starting a new weight loss journey, that's fearful, right? Fear of the unknown, a bit of anxiety around it. But once you get there and I realized I've got stable meals, I've got a bed, I've got a roof over my head. To be honest with you, it was sort of like a bit of a home, and as much as that sounds crazy, that's just, and I know I go back in and obviously talk to these kids now and I say, who's comfortable here? And a lot of them will put their hand up and I say, who likes being here? And some of them will keep their hand up, and that just tells me that, if I sit down and they open up to myself and I tell you about things that have happened to them in the family home, and they feel safer there or more love there. And it's just, you got to imagine a 12-year-old kid, look at your kids, own kids at 12, or your nieces, your nephews, someone else's kids that you are great friends with. 12 years of old, I'm running the streets, breaking into things to get food and survive, and sleeping under bridges, climbing on the roof of factories and then finding some sort of covered, sheltered part. And some of the stuff you'd find, it's just, who does that? It's just insane. A 12-year-old kid's tucked in the bed ready to go to school the next day, and in a caring home, there's love, there's great life lessons, there's values, morals and beliefs being built. I just didn't have any of those. It was more about survival. When I actually felt that my values, morals and beliefs were true to myself and how I survived. Mm-hmm. And I think, when you understand that conversation, we can step in and be a part of it. It doesn't have to be a kid. Sometimes I'd sit in prison yards and I'd talk to a lot of men, tough men within the system, that when I sat with them individually, they were broken men. But the vulnerability, they didn't want to step into that space because, one, society had judged them. Now they were an ex-criminal and you get a job and you're no good and all of the above. So they just went, well, I'll just keep going down this pathway. And, we as a community, if we want all of our community to be at peace, a lot more stability, safety, security, we have that potential – I was going to say obligation, I'd say more potential, to sit in a space with someone and just 5-minute conversation could actually pivot somebody from a violent, normal response into, oh, that's how I actually conduct myself, and into a contributing member of the community. And I think that's a powerful one that every one of us should step into.
Yeah. You just said then about something about being judged. Are you still judged now, and how long have you been out? You've been out since 2010. Are you still judged now when people know about your past, which we will get into at some point?
Yes.
But yeah, while you're on that, I'll just ask that.
Yeah, obviously the journey of my life is bringing in a lot of media, and I've had interviews, conversations, news, and so forth. And a lot of the articles are extreme, makes good or something of that nature. So I think that's the media being the media, and I totally understand that. And I'm cool with Chapter 5 and who I am now at Chapter 55. They were two totally different. The boy was not a warrior, and the warrior you see now is the person who's equipped with the emotional IQ to respond, the leadership skills, qualities that every human being within our community I try and pass on to, so that they live their greatest life, and that means the healthiest, happiest, calmest and most successful version of themselves. And that's defined by them. We support them on the program. But in general, the reason why I do that is because I was able to see that. And to me, that's just a powerful journey to be able to step into a space and create change. What someone thinks of me isn't my business. How I respond to them, Narelle, is the awareness I have of myself. And that means that I know who I am now. And if someone wants to say X, Y, Z about the old version at Chapter 5, and that's going to make their day, I wish them all the very best. And I don't even need to respond, nor do I get violent or angry about it like I did in the past, because that was the only or the first response to –
Of course it was.
It's like the police, the first response, a crime's committed, I don't know that process, but the sirens go on your head towards the scene, right? That process, the same process for me was, I need to make money to survive, I'm going to go out and commit a crime, and if someone gets in my way, I'll be as violent as I can so I don't go back to jail. And you look behind what kicks the crime off, it's just survival, and you think, I just want to survive. And
It's easy for us who've never been in that position to judge, but I cannot help but think to myself, I come from a very, very I hate to use the word normal because that's not right. But my family, mum and dad, I was loved.
Love that.
Like, I just can't imagine violence in my house, because all I ever had was love, support. It's just, and I think to myself, oh, the people that don't have that.
So the program, when you turn on your computer and people are saying, as a Word, they're built like Word, and they're saying, why won't you operate like Excel? And I'm like, well, I don't know how to operate as Excel because I've only been ever programmed as Word.
Yes.
And I always say the old weight loss theory. Everyone says, yep, I'm going to lose weight this year. I had known how to change my life early, and someone said, just sit down, I'll teach you business or come work for us. Even at 12, I would have done it. And we'll give you money so you can have your own place of food. I would have worked my butt off harder than anybody that was in that place. That would have been my mentality. But
you didn't have any direction. You didn't have somebody like that, hence why you commit crime. And, again, we're not condoning committing crime, but you did it you did it obviously to survive.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know how you can ever criticise somebody for trying to survive.
Yeah, when it's hard to understand until you're in that space yourself, and then you realise how powerful that is. Like, you'll do anything and everything. So there's a great video on YouTube, and it's probably not the best one in a sense, but There's a bloke who's successful. It was one of the videos that I watched frequently when I first came home, and it was about a bloke who said he wanted to be as successful as this old bloke. The bloke tells him to meet him down the beach. He then says, wear a suit. He comes down to the beach in a suit. He's like, this is weird. Walks him out in the water, starts to drown him, and the bloke's kicking, screaming, and doing everything he possibly can. And then when he's on his last breath, pulls him up, and he says to the old man, are you crazy? And he said, when you want to achieve or get something or do something within your life as bad as you want to breathe, you'll be as successful as myself. And I think once you understand, I know that's obviously in this podcast as well, it's probably a little bit graphic, but understand the difference. It's a YouTube video called How Bad Do You Want It? And the thumbnail is of an American bloke doing a push-up on artificial grass. But it is a great video and a message in the sense of, and it taught me, if I want to change my life at that point in time now and continue the path that I was taking 13 years ago when I came home, that I have to have a vision to what I truly want in my life. And I should have it so ingrained or embedded within myself that nothing will stop me and get in my way, just like I did when I needed to survive. Now I'm starting to see my emotional IQ had developed. I started to let go of my first responses of violence or survival comes from this action. And then I started to shift and I really went at it. And that taught me a huge valuable lesson that people can, they can take away and put into their own life. The problem with that is that we get comfortable in the spaces that we currently are in, but then we go through life and we look back on life with regret because we didn't action our goals, dreams, aspirations into reality because we had beliefs that people had instilled in ourselves. Maybe we instilled it in ourselves that we couldn't step up to the plate around X, Y, and Z about who we truly wanted to be. And that's a great message for anybody. If I can be the beacon of light to allow you to achieve and believe anything that you want within your life after being and spending over 18 years in maximum security jails across Australia to a global business, then my question is, you've just got to find your why and make it so intentful that you'll step into that every single day.
And we will get to your successful, unbelievably successful business, but talking about questions like this is going to be a $1 million question, I know, but how can we stop this vicious circle of violence and abuse affecting young people? Like, do you think it's about education, not so much about money, although I understand to educate requires money. But I suppose the reason I say that is that education is what saved you. In fact, it gave you a lifeline of sorts, didn't it, like a lifeline to another life.
Absolutely. I think that was huge. Like, when I was there, it's very hard. I think if you're in custody, it's very hard because there's limited spots. You might get 10, because of the classroom size, you might get 10 people that can do a course for 3 months, 6 months, and the jail has X amount of prisoners, hundreds of prisoners in it. You can understand the small percentage that get through those courses. And that would education in any space and in any realm, whether you're starting a business, the more you read or listen to, especially with YouTube as an example, you've got the greatest potential in the history of the world with the technology that we have to really flip yourself. And I think using lived experience with an education background and then combine that with a space where people feel protected to be vulnerable and tell a story, if we can create that space for children, as an example, to be able to have that conversation, but also bridge a gap between the benefit and value of a conversation around, because you've got to understand the kid technically has the highest regard for their parents, and even though something bad might be happening in the family home, when I was asked at school, you know, where the bruises come from, I say, oh, we just play football on the weekend or something of that nature. And they go, it looks like more than football, they're like it's everywhere. And I said, yeah, we smash each other. So I was lying as a young kid because I was trying to protect my dad, who I loved. And it's, you know, the old Stockholm syndrome sort of mentality where it's not your captor, but that's, you know, my father was in my presence on a regular basis, and you don't think nothing's wrong. It'd be something I do quite a lot. How do I seek to understand in a spot? If I stepped in that space, I'd probably be able to give you an answer better in a month's time. But understanding how we can get the message from that child's brain saying that it isn't a bad thing, but it's actually going to help the conversation or help your father grow into a better individual, but in a better conversation and way of putting it. I think you'll get more people stepping into a space, and you're not going to have these damaged kids going into spaces carrying anger, male or female, that go out into life. And, you know, in a female sense, they then seek validation of other people to feel loved and cared for. And while doing so, they then damage themselves even more, because now their reputation is they sleep around, as an example, something of that nature. And now we've got these damaged humans going out into society. That's right. You know, that rolls off onto mental health problems and drug use, alcohol, obviously suicide.
Yeah, and then you get on that merry-go-round, don't
Absolutely.
You? And it's bloody hard to get off. Hey, Jeff, you talk a lot about your dad.
Yeah.
What about your mum? Am I going somewhere where you don't really want to go? Or?
Oh, no, mum was a beautiful person, beautiful nature. But mum, like, I look back on mum, probably lack of boundaries. We'd have 13 people in a house I'll rephrase it, 13 kids on a firm mattress, first in, best dress. So if you got in the middle, I think 3 years to fit on, maybe four. And then the rest of us were around the outside with our heads on the smallest bit of foam, and the rest was on dirty lino floor. I'd wake up to cockroaches, okay. Rats. Yeah, Everly Street was, you got to see the photos, type it in and try and find the old archived photos, and you'll get I'll even send you some after this if you attach them to something for people to understand the context. Graffiti, smashed windows, rubbish everywhere, you know, in the house there'd be piled up cans in the corner, just things of that nature. And I think once people understand the depth of that conversation, you'd understand why going from my father's to there wasn't probably it was much of a muchness, just in a different way and light. And my mother would have so many people there because she was a beautiful, caring person, but she had no boundaries as to, hey, rubbish in the bin or stuff of that nature. Or it might have been just so much to try and handle. We'd have parties to 3 a.m. on a Tuesday night or later, and then they'd say, why are you tired the next day? And yeah, there was no food in the fridge. Why aren't you concentrating? I'm like, I'm concentrating. Trust me, I've got about 10% energy and I'm giving you 12%. You don't say anything about your mother at the time. But she was a beautiful lady and taught me some great nurturing, motherly type behaviours that I still carry to this day. Love, kindness, empathy and respect was pretty much like my key code to get in the door, get out the door from my mother and grandmother. So if I walked in, before you come in, how do you treat people? Love, kindness, empathy and respect. And weirdly enough, you know, through all that crime, I just didn't connect the dots to I was acting to none of those really, other than for my selfish self around survival. I just had no food and I was going to give myself the love, kindness, empathy and respect towards the food, the shelter, and the life I wasn't getting like other kids within my own class.
Yeah, I was just going to ask then that it might sound obvious, but what was it that you craved as a young boy that you couldn't find? Like, what did you wish or hope for?
Yeah, it was more just guidance. You know, Dad was up the TAB a lot. He was a heavy gambler. No money on a Friday. Same mum would have everyone over on a Friday. And those parties would roll around to the Wednesday next week until the money ran low and then it would kick off again. Yeah. And it was probably just guidance. Like, I felt loved. I feel like they, in their weird way, were giving me all that they had. Like I said, I was that kid given 12% when I had 10% battery. I feel they just weren't educated and just didn't know. Father come out from another country, mother was going through the stolen generation period. And I think their focus, it's like anything, if you're driving along and you do the old rubbernecking when you crash, or there's been a crash, usually there's a secondary crash because the car in front slowed down and you'll turn your head to have a look and you smash into the back of it. And I think that's what, you know, the best description of my parents was. They were so distracted by the first crash that they end up crashing their own lives. And they gave what they perceived as their best. And I just went, oh, they give me all they got. And at some point in time, though, I sort of woke up to it and said, nah, this, like, there's got to be better. And it came in when I went to friends' places and they were all clean, they had food. We didn't have food. I didn't have three staple meals. I didn't have, you know, fruit to go and grab out of the bowl and stuff of that nature. So, yeah, it's the things we take for granted, you just don't have. And I think looking back on that, it was just a lot of love and I suppose, I wouldn't say love, more just having what everyone else had. Why don't we have what they have? What is it that we are doing different and why are we living differently to everybody else?
And what was the answer that you came up with?
It wasn't until years later. Now I look at it and just said they weren't equipped with the skills and knowledge and to do. My dad was a baker, mum was a cook, and they did all their best, but then they'd utilize the money to deal with dad with his addiction on gambling and thinking he was, you know, funnily enough, I talked to my uncle, he said he was going to win something big and get us out of there. So my dad had these dreams of trying to win some money and get us out of these, you know, on a small pay packet. So you got to look at the emotional IQ, and I mean that in the nicest way, to my dad around.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Handling money or investing money, just didn't understand it. And mum was just, her money was being invested back into the family. And as Aboriginal people, it's about making sure everyone gets fed and everyone's got a head on the bed, like I said. And yeah, you look at that, to me, they gave me all they had. So I didn't realize that until many years later. And that's the thing, in a moment we judge somebody or we, yeah, especially on the news, oh, I know what's happened here, and we judge that person, and then you dig deep and you're like, oh, wow, that's like pretty intense. And I'll never forget a story. I think it was from Melbourne, and she'd been abused for 20 years or something, and then she lashed out and obviously done something to a partner. And I just think 20 years of just a life wasted, really, in her sense, and then she's taken another life. And if we as neighbours can be mindful of this and step in and have a courageous conversation, it could change a whole narrative and help.
Jeff, that's true, but I'm not sure how what the response would be if I heard something going on next door. And I feel the same as you. We've got to call it out. We've got to call out stuff that we're uncomfortable with or stuff that we hear or we, you know. But what I think most people, if I went next door and I said, is everything okay here? I'm going to call the police, or maybe not, maybe I wouldn't say that because that would just antagonise things. But if I said, look, is everything okay? I'm hearing a bit of yelling. I think most people would say to F off and mind your own business. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, yeah. I found a good one the other day. She turned her live on social media. And she said, I'm not going to accept this. I can hear your wife screaming in there. What's going on? And I was blew me away because he came out and said, her, exactly what you said. He fired up straight away. And she goes, just so you know, I've got the camera on and you're on live. So you can go at me all you want, but this screaming is not acceptable. That's not normal. And we're going to have a conversation. I'm your neighbor. And I don't want to see both of you go through this. So she sort of flipped it and said, it's about not just her, it's about you too. And he then went, look, you know, we've got some problems. And he said, well, would you like me to sit down with you both? And it was a beautiful, I just went, wow, that was very powerful. Cause, and it was a female that did that. And I was like, whoa, how, and I think if, yeah, it's pretty in your face, obviously. But even if for me, I'd sit down the next day and say, hey, mate, I heard some noise last night. You know, is everything okay? How are you traveling? Because as much as we want to check on the female, let's say it was the female as an example, he'll probably say, yeah, I'm fine. I said, well, you know.
Which she would.
I heard some noises last night, man, and I just want to check in that you're both okay. Because if you make it about them, which it is, it's about both parties, you can bring light to the situation. And even for me, I've helped people where blokes stepped away from a relationship. I said, mate, it's toxic. If it's causing you this much stress and you feel you have to control the situation, that's not a relationship for yourself, mate. You know, because nothing stress-wise, you're going to have stress, but ongoing stress, that's not for you. And having those conversations help people see a different way to life. I said, if you truly love this person, you let her go. I said, mate, because in the end you're both – and a relationship's about not having to fix it every day. It's just about, will you disagree on something one day? For sure. But do you need to scream at each other every day and be absolutely stressed out, in balance? Your partner feels unsafe, you know, instability, can't even walk in the home without getting anxious or nervous. That's not a great relationship. And I've had those had those conversations with people in those relationships. And yeah, even friends that I've grown up with and said, mate, they've gone through domestic violence. So, mate, listen to me. I'm not here to judge you, but what do you feel that the first response needs to be, the response you're dishing out?
Yeah.
And that it just helps them see something differently. And I said, do you feel, like, proud of that? And he'd say, nah, because it's my, you know, bloke I grew up with, I should say. Yeah. If you feel embarrassed by it, what would be a better action? Could you call, mate? You can call me. You know that, right? Or walk out around the block and call me and say, mate, I'm stressed out. And what are your thoughts? And I'd be more than happy to say, go do a big lap, mate, and go back and just, here's my advice on it. And people then start to see a different way because their role modeling was their parents have done it and they think it's okay. Yeah. Once again, domestic violence, crime, none of the above is acceptable. But as a community member, I'm definitely going to give as much education to those around me to make sure that someone's family doesn't lose somebody. That's how I think of it. And, you know,
And I think sometimes it's just that intervention, let's say by me going next door. Yes, they might tell me to F off or whatever, but I also think sometimes you'd sit back and you'd think, geez, that must have been pretty bad for the lady next door to come in and ask if everything's okay.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes it might change that mindset. Hey, can we go back to when you were inside and you your lifeline was education? What education course did you do inside?
Yeah, so I did a bachelor's originally. Well, I shouldn't say bachelor's originally. That was the only bachelor's I did, but which sort of really shape-shifted my life. And it was very, like...
What's a bachelor's?
A bachelor's degree in
you did a bachelor's degree.
So of nutrition science. Long story short, I come out of segregation at Port Phillip Prison. The professor standing, he said, "Mate, you look like a pretty smart fellow." And I said, yeah, a bit of a scallywag. Yeah, I do my best. And he said, "Would you like to do a university degree?" And I said, "What, here?" And that was literally my response, because Sydney's a very lock 'em up, throw away the key, sit out in the yard, go into warrior mode, and be the only action you're getting is punch on action. So race wars, and Melbourne was a really good system for rehabilitation. I have to say that about the prison system in Melbourne. Totally different to Sydney, and even in Bowen Prison, which was the maximum security prison there, I was able to do my university degree there. I had a computer in my cell, just to clarify, there's no internet. You just get the computer to type your assignments and load them up onto a disk, give them to you, and you can sort of then go through your assignments like that. And that was life changing to me. And in the background of that, every time I went through jail, I was doing everything. Obviously, you go through the offender behaviour sort of courses. So I was an armed robber, bank robber, and anger management, violence prevention, conflict resolution, those types of things. And I thought, that built my emotional IQ. I'll never forget. I got the lesson I learned. It was a beautiful one from a lady at Loddon, and she has Jeff. What do you think of the police at the time? And I was like, F the police and all, bad attitude. And all the boys are like, bad attitude. And long story short, she says, "All right, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "You got kids, right?" I said, "Yeah, two kids." She goes, "Your kids go missing. What happens? Who do you call?" I said, I'll find it. And they said, you're going to really find them? Really think about it. And I sat there, and she goes, "So would you call the police?" And she said, "Anyone else got an answer for it?" We all sat there like stunned.
I
would call the police. And she said, "So why is it okay to call the police then, but not for yourself around what you're doing?" And I was like, blew my mind. As I, going back to these conversations, just being able to see things differently. And she asked further questions around other things that would happen to kids. And I was like, it just blew me away. I was like, I've never thought about it like that. And that flipped me in a heartbeat. I was like, man, I'm just going to change my life. And I'd already done some groundwork. I'd done computers, MYOB, business studies, Cert 4. So I was doing all this stuff that was in the background that I knew would enhance my life. Then I got into nutrition courses, personal training course when I was in there, those sorts of things that I felt would help my business. In general, just the life I sort of had started to journal out every single day in the cell. And that allowed me to say, this is what I need to do. This course is for me. And it could have been copywriting. It could have been anything anything and everything that would help me towards what I was passionate about. Other stuff, trades and stuff of that nature, I never did because it just didn't interest me.
Fascination or yearn to learn about nutrition and, let's say the psychological side of life, where does that come from? Yeah. Because you obviously got that inside from somewhere, as in jail.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have gone there with that attitude, I'm sure.
No, growing up in Redfern, we had uncles, aunties disappear just the community disappear. From our habits and rituals around lifestyle practices. And then I thought it was just our community that had that problem. And obviously now, since I've been home, and we do that within organisations, communities, businesses, health services, different places and spaces, I suppose, across the country, across the globe, I've realised it's a cultural thing across the world. Where people, you look at someone with a house and the car and all of the above and a nice family, they still had different problems in the background. But one thing that was present in our community, people just were dying so young. And I was like, why are they taking those actions around drugs, alcohol, why they overdose, why are they, our families dying early from these health issues, diabetes, cancers, heart disease. And, yeah, some of those were 40, 50, my uncles and aunties at the time, and I used to think, I want to know more on how that works. Arnie was out. Big Arnie was present at the time, and, you know, obviously a couple of movies. I think it was Predator and Terminator. And I thought, I'd love to look like that. So, young kid, the old egos in the way, criminality. It all gets tidy. And I was like, and then you get locked up and you're like, let's do some workouts because that gets you through your time, improves your mental health. And then I had this obsession in the background, reading. I love to read, and I'd read relentlessly about anything and everything, not just about, it could be gut biome, microbiome. It could be about how the brain function. It could be how muscles work. And I just realized as an individual, I loved learning about the human body and how it could get more out of it. And as I did that, I think that was one of the sum of all things as well. I realized, wait a second, that's why your brain functions that way. That's why you carry that into the next thing. And I came up with this term, the invisible backpack, where we carry the past life lessons, experiences, traumas, and that's who we project to the world. And I had these labels. I had these things that I was built as, and I just, how could I rewire the brain? And these books that I was reading and paths that I was taking, influences that were in that space, including Arnie, they shape-shifted me into a different individual, and organically it sort of sent me from crime to a global business. And if you look back on it, it's just priceless.
Tell us about the business that you've managed to, take from nothing to. It's huge now. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're a global business now. I started out as a trainer.
Have a listen to you. Isn't that amazing?
I love it.
It's just so inspiring.
Yeah, and you don't really think about it, but I did. When we flew over for our first workshop, my partner and I, she said, you should be very proud of yourself. And, because you're just sort of doing, you're not thinking. And I paused for a moment. I got pretty teary-eyed thinking about it. I was like, it's crazy, that a global business has come over and deliver leadership workshops to us. And I think once you understand that, the kid that threw bricks at police cars, sorry, Narelle. But
don't be sorry. I would have thought there was a lot worse.
You look back on it, you're like, it's just – we only know what we know, but we turned the global. I came home. I was a trainer originally for 6 years. 6 years in, my brother commits suicide, and I had done a whole heap during that. Probably, I reckon 4 years in, I started to do talks at schools, organisations, Aboriginal communities. I had a TV show within 2 years of coming home. Obviously, they recognise that journey, and to me, that was very powerful. I was like, "Here we go!" I've shifted my life. I made a bad decision when I first came home. I was back into my old habits. The old crew got together. I didn't want to go out. They come to my workplace. I kept saying, "No, not interested, not interested." Roll up at my work. I'm like, "Ah, stuff it, let's go." They were under surveillance. We get arrested. I think it was, I can't even remember, 2010. Like probably the first year of. In the year, I'd say, of coming home, I'd been arrested. And I was like, we get bail because it wasn't a violent crime, but the crimes we committed made some money, and I thought, I'm going to go back into custody. We dragged that out for 3 years, and I get to a point, and the prosecutor's saying, mate, Jeff's a high caliber of criminality in everything he does. He's been around for a long time. And the judge turns to him and says, I want to ask you a question. How long have you been a prosecutor for? And he goes, 25 years. Based on what you described, Jeff, I want to ask you, how many of those people actually changed their life? And he said, I couldn't mention one. And he goes, that's why I'm going to give him community service. He goes, otherwise he'd usually go to jail for 3 years or something. He goes, I'll be honest. He goes, but this bloke's on the cusp. This is a poignant moment within his life. And, you know, I don't even know who that judge is. I should look it up. But, yeah, I thank him forever because it changed my life. And I was,
he gave you a second chance.
Yeah, he really did. And, yeah, I'd changed by then anyway. But 6 years in between the 3 years after that and the 6 years, I started to do these talks. People would recognize me. I'd had the TV show. I didn't capitalize on the TV show, unfortunately. It went out and then we sort of didn't have any PR around it or interviews or anything of that nature, which was a real bummer because it would have accelerated us into where we are today, I believe. But long story short, I start to do more talks and I step out of PT 2016. 2018, we'd sort of dabbled in it, but we're still doing PT. So when I say stepped out of PT in a gym, I was doing outdoor sessions and sort of between the talks and thing, I was still on the same money and I was loving the freedom of being outside training people.
Bet you were.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Rather than being in an office all day, I spent 18 years in a cell. I didn't want to be in an office. I'd serve my time in an office. And then 2018, my sister committed suicide. And then obviously of about 18 months or so, I don't think, was it 18 months? Yeah, about 18 months off, I start getting back into it. I had a heap of money saved at that point in time. I said, look, I'm just going to reassess my life, think about what I want to do. I'm getting older. During this time, my co-accused, who had obviously still gone down that path, went out, committed further crimes, robbing banks, armour guards. They get ran by the police, taken into custody. They're currently serving 19 years with 14 years on the bottom. They're 5 years into that sentence. And even that, Narelle, to me, like I'm proud to have made a strong decision. Not only for my kids but for myself and the community. And
that would have been so hard, Jeff, because as you've intimated before, it's very easy, and you did, I suppose, you can fall back into the life that you know rather than make a clean break. I cannot imagine the courage and strength that would be required to say, like you're saying now, no, I'm not getting involved in this anymore.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine.
And same again, I just didn't think I did. And I never, long story short, at the time, police officers buzzed my door. And from the past, I had a camera. I was in the camera for the flats. And I looked through the camera open, and they go, as soon as I seen the suits, I was like, fuck, this. Use the language. The police are here. What are they doing here? Like, oh no, it's something from my past come up, going to bite me on the butt. And mate, just so you know, we came to, he said, can I shake your hand? And I said, oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, what's this about? And I was thinking, when he shakes my hand, he's going to put a handcuff on it because economy. But I was like, look, if they're going to arrest me, why jump off the balcony and run? That was my head saying, get off the balcony and run.
Yeah, of course it would be.
I just felt like, mate, they're going to get you. Just, whatever it is, it is. And he shakes my hand. He goes, mate, I've got to commend you. You're under surveillance for 6 months. He goes, and I actually, being in that world, they were sort of present at times. And I was like, am I under surveillance? I swear, I feel like I'm under surveillance, but I was working my butt off. So I was like, whatever, follow me all you want. I'm going to work. But I just felt the presence, because I've been of that mindset. So I knew the little signs and things and vans and stuff of that nature. And he said, we've been watching for 6 months, mate. Just so you know, the boys got arrested today for X, Y, and Z. And I was like, oh, really? He goes, yeah, man, you're lucky you made a better choice. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm done. I said, mate, if my door's open, I'm not, I've got nothing to hide, man. I just want to move on in my life. And I don't know what happened with him. I don't want to know. I just don't, leave me out of everything. I just want to live my life. And I got to that point now where as this global business, we tapped into that strength. What did I do to change my life? What did I do to make those strong decisions at different times? And how did I become a leader in my own life? And how could I plug that into any individual in any organization? And as I said, we've traveled the world now into communities, hospitals, national framework, Ministry of Health, different healths around the country, New South Wales, Queensland, ACT Health as an example, developing programs to help people just live healthier, happier, calmer, probably the healthiest lifestyle they could. And when I say healthy, it's not just about training or nutrition, their thoughts, their mental health, their well-being, preventing suicide, these different conversations that are, you know, even domestic violence, as I said, stepping in and having conversations with people, especially in my own community or other men that sit down with myself in men, or not even, just people, and they sit down and, because of the vulnerability I give in conversations during these workshops, men come out and say, man, you know, I want to make a better decision. And then they'll tell me a story and I'll say, mate, you can't change the past, but what you can do is draw a line in the sand right here, right now. Look me in the eyes, and from this point on, we make better decisions. I want you to tell me what your best perceived solution to this problem could be. And some of them sit there dumbfounded. They're like, I only ever known, you know, my father was violent to my mother. And once again, no justification, no promoting crime here, but just saying, hey mate, what about, do you like music? What type of music calms you down? Do you like painting? Could you walk around the block? If you walked around the block, who would be the three people that you could call? Because if you say one and they don't get through, now they're still stressed out, they're going to walk back in. And so, yeah, and these strategies, man, I've had people call me at 3 a.m. and have these conversations. I say, mate, it's, I'm
proud. At least they're calling you, as you say. You're in,
And I said, mate, I want to blow up, but I've walked out of the house. And I'm like, mate, I'm so proud of you, man. Like, you know, walk around the block, let's have a chat. And then you hear the conversation. I say, mate, leave the phone on. I want to hear that you be a man in this situation. And he will say, mate, I apologise. I realise that by doing that I make you feel X, Y, and Z. And you hear the person break down, maybe you hear him cuddle. And like that, yeah, that's a real-time potential crime scene. And to hear that happening.
That you have that you've helped avoid.
Yeah, and it's like, it's
must be a great feeling.
Yeah, it's a great feeling to just,
Jeff, what's your organisation or your global company? What's it called?
We're flying the Jeffrey Morgan, the Lifestyle Program. And as I said, we plug into any organisation, community, health service, university, anything and everything you could plug some. We basically plug into a space, and we help that space become, each individual within that space become the healthiest, happiest, calmest, most successful version of themselves. And yeah, the modules or the workshop sessions are geared around, and they have so much flexibility and diversity. We bespoke it based around the organisational outcomes, and sometimes that's seeking to understand. And we've worked with everyone from the Department of Defence down to school kids and everyone in between. So it's been a great journey, and it's been one that I'm very proud of. And if I can do it,
so you should be.
The boy became the warrior, as I said, and he became a man in the journey. And as I became the man, I started to have more responsibility. But, I take ownership. Like little things that we grew up as a womanizing, to be straight out and honest, that I'm not proud of. You think it's cool, as in that world, high five each other and all of the above. But I like my daughter to be treated that way, and why are they being treated that way, and why do they feel that way? But more importantly, what could I do to contribute? And for me, I just went, what I can do is be respectful to my next partner, just like I would my mother or grandmother. When you think on this level, and same thing, whether it's a corporate level that we tap into, we get them to think at the highest end of a process, and that means that you're operating at a really high level. Just like in the police force, when they go into a particular situation, let's say it was a siege, they got specific people that go there for that reason. The same principle, we're putting these habits into people to really perform at a higher level that they never thought possible. But I know, coming from the background of where I have to where I am today, using the same, funnily enough, neural, the same skills, qualities from the background I had, well, humans, determination's determination, or commitment's commitment, discipline's discipline. And putting that in from a destructive into a constructive space, and that's where the magic happens.
Oh, I love it. And, you know, your testament to the fact that self-doubt and maybe self-loathing, it can be overcome. And, in fact, you told me something really nice that happened last Tuesday. It was an anniversary. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, that was 20 years to the date since my last arrest. We had the Einstein idea as criminals, or dumbest criminals. Friday the 13th, my co-accused at the time turns to me and goes, "Do you know the date today?" And I said, "Doesn't matter to me." And he goes, "You might want to know." I said, "Oh, I'm not fussed." And he said, "Friday the 13th. I said, I don't believe in that stuff. Who cares?" And later on, we're sitting in Melbourne Watch House, and I was like, maybe I should have looked at the date. As you look back on it. But, you know, it's 20 years to the date, we flipped that. And talking about that self-doubt you spoke about, because we have that invisible backpack, and, you know, your teachers tell you don't do that, your parents don't do that, then you go into work, don't do that. No wonder so many people have so much self-doubt around who they see their own identity. And this is what we build. We build identity into people, and that identity then shows up to any space at a high performance level where they are the best versions of themselves. And I always say, you know, you try and plug a square into a circle and you're going to have someone that's unhappy. It's like yourself. If you wanted to work in a particular division of the police force, but they say, mate, you're going down to traffic, you'd be like, oh, are you joking?
And yes, you're right.
Yeah, all right. So the same. You go down and watch the event. You're like, no, I want to go out and catch these people or whatever it may have been, right? Identifying who's in what space, and we do this well with organisations because they shift someone who's an absolute gun at IT, and they don't even realize the person's so good at IT, and they've got the person saying, we've got a role for you in marketing. Oh, yep, sweet, I'll take that. But the person, put them in IT and they'll get stuff done, you know, 10 times quicker than the person who's actually there in the space who wants to be in marketing. And that's it. That's, you know, the human brain, we carry this self-doubt so much that when someone like me steps into a space, like if you had that self-doubt for yourself, Narelle, what happens is we distrust the person, the past experiences build us to not believe the person in front of us and the outcomes that they could achieve. And therefore, we distrust that person so much that we don't actually step into the space to step out of our own self-belief. Because I get messages on social media, hey, Jeff, I'll give you an example. Hey, Jeff, what's your one tip on PTSD if there was only one tip you could give? And my answer is always like, if you've identified a gap within your life, then you know that you need some form of help within that element of your life. And I want you to think even deeper. What about your financials, your health, your quality of life, your inner peace and so forth, right? How are they traveling? They say, actually, I've got that and that. And then I say, so what you've identified is that you trust me to give you an answer that will give you an outcome, but you won't step into the space because you distrust yourself and you lack belief. My biggest advice to yourself is cross the line and just say, hey, Jeff, you are the person that is going to help myself or whoever that is in your space.
Yeah.
And then you actually create a better outcome. And we won't have people walking around, I call them dead cells, Narelle. It's like a phone that hasn't been charged, and they just, you know, they'll do what they need to get by, just like as a 12-year-old kid, but they won't actually be living up to, you know, ask me, did I want to be a criminal and a bank robber as a 12-year-old kid? I actually wanted to be Tom Cruise, Top Gun at the time, so it was a different, I actually went to the...
you missed that boat.
I actually went to the Air Force and done the testing
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got to the end point and on the form I had lied about the criminal record because I was desperate to get in. You know, I was really desperate to get in, and Tom Cruise at the time had a huge influence in that space, but I thought, yeah, I'm going to fly one of those jets and be the best fighter pilot. But sure enough, once I did the check, that's where that sort of journey ended.
Yep.
Yeah. So
that dream came crashing down. Yeah.
But like, definitely step into if you are an individual and you've asked anyone in your space a question around how you could improve yourself in any way, shape, or form, that means you trust that person. My advice to yourself, it's just like when you called Narelle to come and solve a crime for yourself as a police officer, that means you trust that person to come out and do due diligence around a space and hopefully catch someone that's committed a crime to you. So the same thing for us as a business. We trust the person, know that the distrust comes from your own disbelief and not one from the other side. And that's how you can distinguish and let go of self-belief and step out of doubt and into self-love.
Well, Jeff, I've got to say, thank you for everything that you do for those who've lost their way and feel like they've got nothing to contribute to society, because you are proof that you can make a life, and a very, very successful life, if you put your mind to it and if you, I don't know, I suppose, trust in yourself but trust others as well to help you on that journey.
Yeah, it's... You identify what you want out of life, know your vision, purpose and why to life, because as a 12-year-old kid, my own vision, purpose and why was what? Survival. But if you can write that out, even if you're a young kid listening to this, write out what you want to get out of life. You might want to be Top Gun, Tom Cruise and fire pilot. Don't get yourself in trouble. And you actually,
I was going to say, don't do armed robberies if you want to be Tom Cruise. And fly fighter pilot planes.
Absolutely. And I say this to everyone, the amount of effort I went to commit crimes and be undetected by the police as a bank robber, as you could imagine, Narelle. You look back on it, if I put that same time, energy and effort into a business, and this is my advice to
you. You're right.
You'll crush life if you draw it around your passion and you know what your vision, purpose and why might be. One end, to sit on a beach and throw a line in under the Sunshine Coast here in Australia, which is beautiful sunny place, catch some fish, walk back with your dog to your thing, cook that up and read a book. Versus the other end, if you want the Lamborghini, the $1 million mansion, whatever it is, right? It's probably 10 million these days in this cost of living wage. But in general, then make your intentions towards your intentions, not towards distractions, which means every single effort I make is heading towards the direction I want. And I'm not here to judge what life you choose to live on either end of that scale or anywhere in between, but I'll make sure that I leave this with yourselves. Make sure that you let go of the self-belief, self-doubt, and step into self-belief through people who can educate, motivate, inspire you to different ways. And if you sit with someone and you feel you have a question for them, the only question I suggest you ask them is, where do I sign up so I can get the investment for myself to live the life that I truly want? And then show up for yourself every single day. And whatever you do, anyone out there thinking of crime, if you're stuck in crime, my advice to yourself is use the same skills, qualities that you have in a destructive way, flip them over to the constructive side. You won't have the police kick your door in. You'll live 10 times the life you're currently living. And I called it a beautiful life back then, traveling to all locations, spending money and all of the above. I do that. I do 10 times that, and I don't have no stress other than if I don't pay my taxes. So it comes down to what you sort of put your time, energy and effort into, and put it into yourself, because you're worth it.
I love it. And I think on that note we finish, Jeff, but thank you again. I can't thank you enough. Thanks for your time and good luck with everything.
Matt, I truly appreciate your time and I thank you for your space.
Thanks, Jeff. As you've probably noticed, we've moved to a new platform called Acast. I think that's the right expression, I've got no idea. And my previous reviews haven't transferred over. I need reviews. Could you do me a favour and put up a review? And thank you so much for your support and patronage. With your help, I can give you that little bit extra. Thanks.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.